Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us on Twitter at JohnWright777.
And ChrisWright250. This is episode 60, the Transformers Age of Extinction review.
Age of Extinction.
Yes.
Yeah, so, we literally just saw that.
Yes, and it is almost 1 o'clock in the morning.
It is. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yep. But we saw it.
And we saw it.
And it was a spectacle.
Yes, and we will share our thoughts about that later on. And we have a special guest a little bit later as well.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that.
Yes.
And it's not Mark Wahlberg.
Did you like that tease there?
Or just Optimus Prime.
Well, don't tell them that. You want them to stick around. It might be.
Okay. It could be either one of those two things I just said it was.
It's not.
I'm trying to throw up a smoke screen and cover up what I just did. So how was your week?
My week was good. It's been, you know, I don't know. I feel like it should be the weekend already.
Have you done anything noteworthy?
Not really.
Okay, cool. Well,
not a ton.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, I know it is. Kind of is. Yeah. How about you?
Nope. Other than I watched the,
that's also disappointing.
Watched the U.S.
Chris.
Get beat by Germany today.
Yes, but we still advanced.
Still advanced. Why? Because soccer's crazy.
Yes, because,
and makes literally zero sense.
Well, because Ghana didn't score another two goals. Yeah, if they'd scored two more goals,
listen,
we wouldn't have moved
you
on.
You shouldn't even have to go through this, through that kind of an explanation.
But see, now the next round, if I'm remembering right, is like you get eliminated, that sort of thing. So, I mean,
that's the way it should, that's the American way. You lose, you're eliminated.
None of this, like, if they don't score, if the other teams don't score enough points,
exactly,
you know, you get to move on.
Yes.
Or
I understand that way.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm pro that way.
No, but the U.S. really didn't, I don't know, it was strange.
They looked terrible today.
Well, it was like you saw the percentage of possession, and it was like we possessed the ball like 30% of the time. It's like,
What's the guy? I can't even remember the guy. I don't know these people, but the guy with like the dreads, and he's like our main.
Jones?
Like, yeah, Jones.
Well, there's Jones and there's Bradley.
I don't know. Anyway.
But Bradley's the bald guy.
Nope, not Bradley. So
okay.
Jones.
So Jones.
So Jones. Man, he looked terrible out there. He was just losing his...
So did Bradley. Like, Bradley... Like, I feel like Bradley dropped it. Like, I mean, he just kind of, like, disappointed me a few times, too.
Jones,
the only person who
Jones
was...
Jones kicked the ball, and it hit him in his own face. Okay?
I did see that.
He knocked his head against another man's face. He tripped and fell like three or four times and kicked the ball in the wrong direction.
But at least he didn't bite anyone.
That's true. At least there wasn't some kind of cannibalistic mauling.
Yes. I mean, it's happened.
There's always that.
The person who did the best job on the U.S. team, though, is the goalie.
I think, yes, he did. I think that any day in any situation, if your criteria for... A good day is that no one got their ear bitten off.
No one was bit.
No one was bit today. It sounds like you know you're taking stock after every day of the zombie apocalypse.
Yes, it's like you're on Walking
Dead.
You're
writing in your journal. It was a good day today. No one got bit. It's a rare occurrence.
Nobody got bit today.
We didn't. Yesterday we had to put little Billy down.
Well, I feel like that. this got dark all of a sudden. I feel like that would make the World Cup a little bit more interesting, though. I mean,
if there were
non-soccer,
off the side,
yeah, it's like you know,
you're turning into the governor. That's what
the governor
was doing.
If you're pulling a governor on him, well, spoilers for some Walking Dead there.
Whatever. You
anyway,
know, if you haven't seen or read that far, then
you're never going to.
Exactly. And you're not a Walking Dead fan. I'm sorry.
It's not
going
to happen. All right. So we have a new segment we want to throw out here.
What's this going to be called?
I think we should call it What Is Out.
What?
No, that's wrong.
That's the worst. It's the worst name.
It's really late. What do you want to call it? You want to call it...
What can I buy with my monies?
That is also a pretty bad name.
All right, we'll come up with a better name for next time.
How about new releases?
It's just
that's really boring.
Can we spell releases with a Z? Like,
can we spell new with a N O O W?
No. N U E.
Oh gosh, so like GNU, we could put a silent G at the beginning.
That's
new that makes, releases.
At least mine made sense. That makes no sense. Silent G's.
Oh gosh.
We'll figure out a good name for this, but we are excited about a few things that are out now.
For sure.
That you can buy. You can buy with your monies.
Yes.
So this week, Valiant Hearts. The Great War came out. Yep. I think we're going to review that actually next week.
Yep.
And
we've been looking forward to this game for a long time.
Oh, man, it looks really cool. So here's the pitch. It's set in World War One, and it's based on a series of letters that I can't remember the creator of the game. He found some old letters from like his great-grandfather or something like that, and great-great-grandfather maybe, I don't know, in World War One, and he's like, oh, man, we should base an entire kind of like story around this. And so like... the central character that ties all the stuff together, the stories together, is this dog, and there are four like other intertwining stories that kind of like go along with it, and has great music, really cool art style. It's done with UB art, and so it's 2D like hand drawn kind of looking stuff, and
yeah,
it looks really cool. I'm gonna bust that out this week, and I'm really looking forward to playing it
for sure, for sure. And we will be reviewing that next week. Also, we have a DVD that came out recently. Came out this week. We had
a DVD. Are you still buying DVDs?
Gosh, man, Blu-rays.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. Or a film. We can just say this. You
sure.
Know? Literally a reel of film.
Yes.
And I totally just slipped my mind what it was.
Lego movie.
The Lego movie.
The
that's
Lego
right.
movie. We also reviewed that. I'll put that in the
show
notes.
Yep.
A link to that. But yeah, man, one of my favorite movies of last year.
It was so good.
And it's taken a long time to get it out on Blu-ray. It did stay in theaters for a while. So.
Yeah.
But
everything is awesome.
Yes. Everything is awesome with that movie because it's a great movie.
Yes.
So you should definitely check that out if you are at all interested. Also, coming out for PlayStation Plus users, I think on PS4, the free game that I'm looking forward to is Strider.
Yeah.
I think it's out now.
Yeah.
And then next month...
For Xbox One, yes.
Yes. Microsoft has announced that Guacamelee is going to be a free game for gold subscribers.
That's awesome. And Strider, actually, I was surprised about that one because that one's a more recent game. Like, came out a couple months ago or so. So it's a relatively new game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's really cool. So, anyway, yes. And then, of course, Transformers Age of Extinction. You can spend your cold hard cash on a ticket to go see that this weekend as well. Depending on what you think of our review.
Yes, and we will be reviewing this.
Right now.
Right now!
Okay, John.
Okay, Chris. So, this is the review for the larger-than-life
yes.
fourth installment
yes.
of the Transformers movie franchise.
Yes.
Directed by Michael Bay.
Correct.
And
starring Mark Wahlberg.
Starring Mark Wahlberg this time.
Yes. T.J. Miller.
Yep.
I don't remember the names of the actors, the other two actors. I will look it up.
It also had Frasier in it.
You mean
Kelsey Grammer? Yeah.
Stall for time.
Stalling for time right now. business.
You're terrible at this.
business. A little bit of the Lego movie thrown out there. You can check out the review of that on stayontargetpodcast.com.
Yep. Jack Rayner and Nicola Peltz. They were the other two main characters. Oh, did I say T.G. Miller?
Yes, you did.
I did say T.G. Miller. Okay, yes. So going into this movie, man,
yes.
You're going to have to help me remember because it was a while ago.
Yes.
Literally like 4 hours ago.
Yes, it was 4 hours ago.
I said there would be certain things in this movie. I said
yes,
what I'm anticipating from this movie
yes.
are there's going to be...
beautiful shots.
Yes. Oh, great cinematography.
Yes.
Okay. Girls with poofy lips.
Okay.
Okay. There's going to be some kind of Dutch angle shot of Mark Wahlberg. There's going to be military helicopters or machinery silhouetted against the sky.
Yes. Okay. A sunset, I think you said.
A
you
sunset.
Were specific.
I did say sunset. And was that it?
I think that was it.
That I don't. If it wasn't it, then I don't remember.
Yes.
But and all of those were in it. Most of them within the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Yes, and I made the comment then they were in it again within the next like 20 minutes of the
yes.
movie. About every 20 minutes, one of those, like all of those things.
So basically
occurred.
Everything you've come to expect from a Michael Bay Transformers movie.
Yep, if they all happened.
Yeah, if you like the other Transformers movies, you're going to love this movie.
Yeah, I mean, and that was my biggest thing.
Except for the second one.
Yes, except for the second one.
If you liked that one, then the Lord have pity on your soul.
Yeah, dude, Transformers 2 was just, I don't even consider it part of the,
yes,
like,
let's
just ignore it.
Yep.
But yeah, so this one, I definitely felt like this one had elements of, I could compare it more to Transformers 1 than I would to either of the other two, which, since we're ignoring 2, just 3. Yep. You know, it didn't feel like a taking 3 the next step further.
That's true.
It definitely felt like a almost a reboot of sorts.
It is. I mean, and it needed that, you know, like, you know, by 3, you know, you had this big kind of like weird story with Sam Witwicky, and, you know, of course, Shia LaBeouf has moved on to other things, and like, you couldn't continue that storyline anymore, and we didn't need to. Like, that storyline was just getting too big, too sprawling, too many characters that served no purpose.
Right. And I think we depended on with Witwicky too much in, you know, in the mythology of these characters, and we needed something a little bit deeper than that, which this definitely brought to the table as far as like a mythology goes.
Yeah. I'll tell you my quick, you know, analysis of this movie is, you know, like, you know, let's compare it to like the third Transformers movie.
Okay.
Revenge of the Fallen.
Yes.
And this takes itself a lot less seriously than the third Transformers movie did.
Definitely.
And for me, that was a refreshing change of pace, because honestly, like, whenever I'm going in to see this movie, I just want to see a bunch of stuff blow up. It looked pretty the entire time, and, you know, have some comedy and stuff like that. And they, like, you know, for instance, let's talk about the comedy for a second. They hit the comedy beats great in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, whereas, you know, if you remember second Transformers movie, it was all forced. Mm-hmm. It was all terrible.
Right.
They were all, like, basically, like, bathroom humor jokes. And, like, there was, I mean, there weren't any poop jokes this time. There weren't any, like,
no, I mean, it
testicles hanging off of the robots this time.
It was all, oh gosh, dude, I forgot. Man, let's just not even talk about 2.
All right.
Come on. This one definitely, like, it was all situational. It was all, like, directly related to what was going on.
Yeah.
There were a couple times where it did feel, like, odd to me, as in, like, almost like it was just kind of thrown in or a filler for something, but honestly, this movie needed no extra filler.
I mean, there were a lot of things that were extra filler. I mean, it's two hours and 37 minutes long.
Yeah.
You know? So this is the longest Transformers, and it's, you know, it's definitely, you know, too long.
Yeah. And that was the biggest thing for me. Like, early on, it definitely, that you felt all of the slowness.
Actually, I was okay really early on. I don't know when, at what point, like, you thought it was too long. I think, like, yeah, in the middle, definitely. And the end, like, final battle kind of went on a long time. But, like, I thought the whole setup, you know, whenever, you know, like, they're on a farm at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, that whole setup to the rest of the movie, I thought that was great.
I think that setup was good for me. It was the moments where we jumped away from a little bit of that.
Yeah, that's true.
And into the rest of the world that we didn't really care about or need to know.
Not yet. But I think it worked well. Like, the pacing felt good for me there.
Mm.
Like, it just kind of, you know, it kind of slowed down after that. Like, honestly, I would have been okay if that happened. First, like, section had been like half the movie, you know, like, and
really?
Then the rest, and then just accelerated a lot of the other things.
Okay, I thought you were saying, like, that, as in, you keep the running time and you just extend.
No.
I know what you're saying. Like, you just cut the later on stuff a little bit tighter. I could see that, and definitely with the rebootish type feel to this, that early setup is interesting for sure. And I, you know, I would have to go back and watch like Transformers 1 to see how quickly they get into things there.
Right.
But it, again, there was just a couple of moments where it seemed like they pulled a little bit of the Peter Dinklage from X-Men, where somebody was over-explaining a little bit on what was going on a couple of times.
That definitely happened for sure.
Yeah.
The one thing, like, you know, I loved the change to Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, gosh.
I think that he brings a weight to this movie that Shia LaBeouf never could. You know, a bravado, and, you know, like, some confidence, and that, you know, like, so, you know.
It was less goofy.
Yeah, it was less goofy, but whenever you think about the other movies, you think, okay, so there was Shia LaBeouf as Sam Witwicky, and then there was Oliphant. Was it Timothy Oliphant? Is he in that one, or is it the other dude that looks like him?
I don't remember.
Anyway, he was basically the muscle, you know, like because Shia LaBeouf is not that person.
Right.
Mark Wahlberg can be both of those people.
Right.
You know, and I liked how they, you know, his character was portrayed as kind of nerdy and he can fix a lot of things. He understands machines.
Except his arms and technology. Are huge for being a nerdy guy. But I guess he works with his hands a yeah. lot, you know, lifting big, heavy things.
I was like, man, like he was going out, you know, like this is the beginning, 5 seconds of the movie. So you don't want to be spoiled completely, then just.
15 seconds forward.
But he, you know, he kind of starts off and he's looking through some junk and it reminded me like American Pickers or something like that, you know, like he's just one of those guys, you know, he's out there like just searching for some goodies.
Okay. So cinematography, obviously it's Michael Bay. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Looks great.
I mean, there were so many cool shots in this thing where like sometimes it would just like give a big wide shot and I would just be like, man, that is a great shot.
I can't vouch for him personally,
right?
But I, you know, as a director, I love everything that Michael Bay shoots. Like, it looks great. Mm-hmm. All like, you know, whenever you're going into this movie, that it's going to look good.
Right, right. That at least your eyes are going to enjoy what they're looking at.
And I honestly think, you know, like, that the... I think this was better written than even some of the other movies. Like, we learned a lot more about the characters than we have before. But because, you know, before we learned a lot about, like, Sam Witwicky. And like there was just so much just like backstory to these movies. There wasn't a lot of backstory. We got the backstory out of the way, you know, like really early on.
Yes.
And I think honestly, like there was a lot more dialogue between the Transformers than there have been in other movies.
That was nice. I did want to comment on that. That felt more natural to driving the plot forward. And because it's like, I guess during the previous ones, it was almost like they were just there to fight and look cool,
right,
as opposed to drive much of the plot forward,
right?
With their actual dialogue and things,
right?
And this one, it definitely they actually did some like good character development with like Optimus Prime, and I mean, they did some really nice, cool things with these people, with the Transformers, and so I think you know that was a bigger deal this movie, I will say that Bumblebee had played a lower role than I expected him to, and I kind of wanted a little bit more, but.
I'm okay with it because, you know, like, you know...
I think it served to separate it more from the other films.
Correct. And, you know, this was not necessarily... Whereas the other films were about Sam and his relationship with Bumblebee.
Right.
This was more about, what is Mark
Wahlberg's
character?
Optimus Prime.
Yeah, this is more about Optimus Prime. What is Mark Wahlberg's character's name?
Oh,
Cade.
Yes.
So, like, it's more about Cade and his relationship with Optimus Prime.
Yes.
And so, like, I liked that switch. You know, I honestly kind of, like, always wanted... you know, Optimus Prime to play a bigger role in the other movies.
Oh, yeah.
And so the fact that he is...
Other than just those epic monologues.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we got three other movies with Bumblebee.
Right.
It's like the main, you know, Transformer that we focused on.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So the music, Steve Jablonski.
Yes.
Awesome.
I love Steve. He did the soundtrack most recently. I don't know if it was most recently. He also did the soundtrack for Pain and Gain.
Yes.
Which I love.
Oh, yeah.
He actually, like, really early on worked underneath Hans Zimmer.
Yep.
Just like a lot of other people in the industry.
I mean, that's a really common story nowadays.
Did the music for the Gears of War franchise. I like him a lot, and he did a great job. Like, there are some just really cool, like, little pieces. And what's funny is you look at his soundtracks, and a lot of the songs are like, here's a 40-second song.
Right.
But it's a really cool 40-second song.
Right. Well, it fits with a lot of the, especially, like, with Michael Bay's, like, beautiful shots and things like that. It fits the tone of the colors and the everything that he kind of puts into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Jablonski really captures that with the music, especially kind of the more cinematic slow shots where, you know, someone's standing there looking epic, you know, that sort of thing. So,
and the Transformers themes from the other movies were back, and
yes,
you know, those are beautiful themes. And
awesome.
I like the way that those play. What did you like the basically like the bad guys in this movie?
Wow, I don't know how much to get into before the spoiler side.
Well, did you like them?
I would say that it seemed less focused to me.
Yeah.
Definitely than previous movies of this, and then I wanted it to. I wanted to be focused and have a absolute hatred for a bad guy in this.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I really, like, it really got me to do that.
Yeah, and I don't know that was its goal. Like, for certain characters it was, but certain characters also, like, they had this kind of redeeming kind of story. And
right. Well, so, I don't know if I'm counting them as really bad guys necessarily.
I mean, so, early on, like, they for half the movie, like, they were portrayed as bad guys.
Right. And that was some of the character development within the plot that I really enjoyed.
Yeah. And, and you know, graphically, I think it was very apparent that they did not spend a lot of as much time or money, I don't think, on the CGI in this movie. You know, you would see like it would, so a transformer would like be about to transform and it would cut away or pan go behind, you know, an object, and like you don't see that happen. And it's like, that's obviously a money thing. Like, you don't have the time to see all these parts articulating and moving into. I did, but I also, like, along the same lines, I loved the way, like, early on you see Optimus Prime transform.
Right.
And it looked amazing. It looked better than it has in other movies. So.
Right. I think bottom line for me, like, if you like movies with, like, explosions, like, this had some of the coolest Michael Bay explosions I've seen. And, like, there's some really cool moments.
A lot of real explosions, real effects.
Right.
And I really liked that.
Yeah. And, you know, the colors were all just vibrant on the explosions and things. I mean, if you liked visual spectacles, this is a great film. If you like the Transformers franchise, you are going to like this movie.
Yep.
I don't know. To me, there was some, you mentioned like the story or something. I don't know the story. There's a few moments where it felt like there was either something missing or I don't know. There were some holes.
Yeah.
For me, for sure.
I mean, yes, I agree. There always is with these movies.
Yes. So, but again, if you liked the previous Transformers movies, you're going to love this one.
Yeah, so this is definitely a go-see for me if you like the previous Transformers movies, if you like action movies, you like Mark Wahlberg, or you like Michael Bay. Any combination of those, and you'll love this movie.
I can agree with that. And but if you don't like any of those things,
then don't go see this movie.
Maybe don't go see this movie because you're not going to enjoy it.
Correct.
Uh-huh. I think that covers about everything.
Yep. The spoiler clock's almost done.
It's winding down for sure.
Yep.
All right. Do you want to throw out the spoiler? Do you want
me
to?
Three, two, one. Spoilers!
Optimus Prime goes to space.
Oh, man. I forgot about that. Well, I wouldn't have said that, so I'm glad that...
It's right to the end. Just right to the end of the movie.
Optimus Prime's going to space. So let's back up.
Okay.
And we'll get there eventually. So, we talked about, like, the first section. I really love the dynamic between Mark Wahlberg and his family. Like, so he's just, like, this family guy.
That was cool.
And he is basically, like, you know, this down and out kind of, like, he does well by his family. Or he's very, very cautious with his family, with his daughter, but he's not cautious in everything else in his life. Mm-hmm. And, like, so he's very, like, you know, brazen, and he takes chances monetarily and, you know, with Optimus Prime and stuff like that. I also love T.J. Miller. I thought that his role in this movie, until he died...
Yeah, was that the one you were going to throw out?
Yeah, probably. Oh, yeah. But I don't know how I would say that, because no one knows, like, who...
what his character really does or is.
I was surprised by that.
I was too, but it did bring this weight to the rest of the film.
Did.
And I think that was, I don't know, it's before that moment, there really wasn't any big investment in the, you know, it was just like, oh my gosh, all this stuff just happened to these people. And at that moment, I think they had to choose whether or not they were in this or not, you know?
Yeah, and it surprised me just because, like, up until that point, like, he was basically, like, for me, he was the highlight of the first part of the movie. Like, I really like him as an actor. I liked that character. You know, he did a great job with that. He just got off his run on the first season of Silicon Valley on HBO, which was phenomenal. And so it was cool to see him in this role. And it just shocked me so much. I was like, holy cow, this is... They mean business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
What was that other robot's name that killed him?
Oh, I forgot. It's two words, though.
It's two words. Stall. Like that, stall for time.
I'm stalling again. The only thing about that first section that it was Kelsey Grammer, like, and I love Kelsey Grammer. He did a good job in this film. But there was a couple of times where we cut to him, cut away from what I wanted, which was more of, like, Wahlberg and the family dynamic. And we cut away from that to see what Kelsey Grammer had been up to, and to basically give updates on how the, like, what the world was, what the state of the world. And we did this twice, or two or three times. And it's like, it just felt kind of forced the second time. It just felt like we were just rehashing a little bit. And
we only saw Kelsey Grammer once, though. So, like, you know, the things that we saw the background on were basically the scientist who found, like, this dinosaur that kind of, I think the reason for that was to set up the dinosaurs later. The fact that they were going to be there, and to illustrate that they had, you know, like, right, come to Earth and caused the extinction of the dinosaurs in order, right, to, I guess, make more Autobots?
Yes.
Robots?
To build Optimus Prime and those guys. Like, their makers would go to planets and basically harvest this natural material that they had turned into that metal. And then they would build Autobots and, you know, Decepticons, or who, just a bunch of robots out of it.
Lockdown.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like I said, two words.
Yep. Well, it's spelled as one word.
But it was two words. Compound word.
And I guess, you know, they also, like, use those early cutaways to set up the fact that the Autobots are being hunted.
Yeah. He was in it twice, because we had the whole moment with the president and that scene.
The president's advisor. Chief of staff.
Yes. Which was funny, but I don't know how necessary it was. But it's kind of one of those things we've talked about on podcasts previously, where if these big, huge things are happening in the world, where is, like, the president?
So it's cool to see that.
So it's kind of nice to see that. I just think, like, early on, it really felt...
But this is the thing. I guess this is my thing. Yeah. I mean, and I'm not going to say it's not too long, because it was too long overall. And let's just, like, right, say, yes, we could have cut some of this stuff out.
But there's a lot of stuff later that you could cut
That's
out.
That's what I was going to say. So, like, at least it was consistent overall in that you could cut a lot of all of it out.
Yeah.
You know, you could cut a lot of scenes in the beginning out, middle, mm-hmm, end, all of it, across the board. Whereas, you know, some other movies that we've picked on before, like The First Hobbit, you know, like, I wouldn't necessarily cut things out of the beginning, but I would cut a lot of middle stuff out, you know?
Right.
So I guess harsher on movies that are lopsided like that.
Gotcha.
Where it's not like, well, we've just bloated this entire thing up.
Right. Where it was just kind of one of those things, hey, we shot it and it's good stuff, let's just leave it in. But all the, you know, you can just add a ton of good stuff together.
At least it's consistent.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I will say that, like, while it felt long, I don't know that I really, I was in it for the robot spectacles and, like, where it was just robot fights. And so it's like the robot fights, it was all right, you know.
I honestly don't think I would have felt it if it hadn't been so late.
Right.
You know, like.
I agree.
So, you know, I'm not necessarily going to hold. I mean, yes, it was just too, long.
Yeah.
But
could have been a 2-hour long
but
movie.
Not to say that it's boring, I guess, is what we're trying to say.
Right. That's I think we agree there. Yeah. Not to say that, like, if you're going into this with the right expectations, then you're going to be entertained the whole time.
I think I already said this, but, like, I did enjoy, like, you know, like I said, you know, this doesn't feel as weighty. You know, I think that the third one took itself a lot, you know, very seriously. But this, you know, I think they had a lot of fun with this, and I think that's what made it funny, because things weren't forced. They weren't taking themselves so, like, hey, we have to be funny, you know, like,
right.
And it made just watching all this a lot more fun to watch.
Yes.
Whenever everyone wasn't, you know, taking it so seriously all the time.
Oh, man. It was really nice to have that refreshing kind of winking at itself at some times.
They referenced, you know, like, early on, they referenced the fact, you know, like, they were in a movie theater, and he said something like, you know, these were good movies back before we had all these sequels and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, so they did that, and what was the other one? There was another one sometime around there that they referenced. It was like a self-referential humor thing.
Going back to, you mentioned the bad guys.
Yeah.
And I wanted to address that. And I guess my thing is, I guess if for a movie like this, whenever people think about it, they may say, okay, well, if we have one bad guy and he's really bad, what if we added three more?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there was, like, four main bad guys, if you want to call them that. Maybe only three.
So there's Kelsey Grammer.
Right. And then there was the guy he was making deals with.
Lockdown.
And then there was
Megatron. But he's Galvatron now.
Yes. So those were the three.
Yeah.
But there's not four.
They're used in different capacities, you know.
Right.
They serve different roles.
Yeah, I never really felt like any one of them was... Like, I don't know. I mean, while I wanted them all to go away, I didn't really get to this, you know,
well, because,
innate,
you know,
hatred
you think,
of
you think
them.
About Lockdown, and, you know, like, he, you know, is, he wants Optimus Prime, and he's helping kill all these Autobot. So he has this like weird ulterior motive separate right. from the main storyline. But he has the, also like he's the one who gives him that bomb, whatever it was called, the seed.
Yes.
You know, so like he's the source of that, and because of that, he's a bad guy. It's just like he felt, you know, like kind of more at odds with this other agenda, where the other agenda is right. to like get rid of all the Autobots and Decepticons and create your own robot army, right. all that kind of stuff. And then there's, you know,
and then there's Megatron, who just
then there's Lockdown, who has this like he just wants right. Optimus Prime, right? You know,
like,
I don't know.
Well, like he's I think he might be a setup more for like whatever happens next. If we have something that happens next, it's just I don't know. It just felt like there was so much going on, and there wasn't anything really aligned in a unified force on yeah. the antagonist front. That yeah. it just felt too spread, and so I never really connected with anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, they all did a good job. I just didn't connect really with it, just because the plot just felt a little spread out.
Yeah, yeah. So let's skip back. Skipping back to, I guess this is a story. I liked how at the end Optimus Prime pointed out, Mark Wahlberg's character.
Yeah.
He.
I know what you're gonna say. Yeah.
Yeah, he was like. I guess the Autobots were kind of giving up on humans, and you know Optimus Prime's like, I'm going to leave and never come back and all that kind of stuff. And he said, why would you do that? And he's like, you're like me. Like you know, I see in the junk, I see the treasure. You
right.
know? And I love that. Like that yeah. was cool. And it brought everything full circle from the beginning. And like it kind of added depth to that moment and to both Mark Wahlberg's character and Megatron, or not Megatron, Optimus Prime.
So that was a really good parallel that I feel like they pulled off great. Mm. There was another parallel that felt a little bit strange and forced, and that was the whole the parallel between Mark Wahlberg and his daughter to Cade. Optimus Prime and
Bumblebee. Mm-hmm. But I think they did it well because we all got it. Like
I felt it
just seems weird yeah. is what it is. Is because it's like, is Bumblebee Optimus Prime's child? Like, that seems weird.
And it felt a little bit forced because we've never seen this in any of the other films.
They did. I do remember. I don't remember which film it was, but they did reference, like, they would continually reference the fact that Bumblebee doesn't listen to Optimus Prime. Mm. That would happen in almost every movie.
Gotcha.
Where, you know, like, he tells him to do something, you stay out of it. And then he goes off the rails and, like, you know, joins in. He's like, what are you doing, Bumblebee?
That was a good Optimus Prime. I liked it. I liked that. Can you say, I'm coming for you?
I'm coming for you.
Yes, that was pretty good. That sounded more wrestler, though.
The first one was better.
The first one was definitely better.
Yeah, yeah. It was
more off the cuff. You channeled Optimus Prime there. It's just, dude, I loved the connection between Wahlberg and Prime. It felt more natural to me even than Bumblebee to mm-hmm. Sam before.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah,
I like that. I also liked the different like dynamic as far as, you know, the child, quote unquote, in this is his daughter rather than Sam. I liked, you know, changing genders. And I also liked the dynamic between him and her boyfriend.
I thought his character felt a little underdeveloped, though.
It was definitely
underused.
It was underdeveloped. It was underused. I will give you that. I liked his character, the idea of his character, and I wish it had been developed more. I didn't like how like just in your face he was with Mark Wahlberg all the time for no reason. But then again, Mark Wahlberg's character was being very like
crazy,
dismissive of him. Yeah, and right. crazy. Yeah, for sure. I liked the racing.
The racing was cool. I really enjoyed
it. It was something that we hadn't really like. We've seen the Autobots drive around,
right?
But never like the people actually be good drivers,
right? That was a cool. I feel like that was a really cool connection to have with these Transformers characters. Yeah. You know, is to have somebody who knows cars,
and that was a cool sequence.
Yes, it was where he basically punches these guys in the face with the tire of his
yeah.
car.
And yes, that was hilarious.
It was so good.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so like the other thing, like you touched on it earlier, was there a lot of explosions in this?
Oh man,
and it's awesome how many they're all real.
Yeah.
It's not CG explosions. Mm-hmm. And they may have added in, you know, made it look bigger. But, it, like, this is all real. Like, the house.
Oh, gosh, dude. That house was one of the most beautiful explosions I've ever seen in a movie.
I've seen, at least in the past 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
The house, at the end, there was, like, that, whatever that was, that lockdown jumps down on. It's basically looks like some kind of, like, walkway bridge thing between two, like, warehouse buildings.
Yeah.
And the whole thing just ignites.
Yes.
I don't know. There were what were some other one? I don't know. There
some
was...
other big dude. The whole movie had a bunch of explosions, and it almost became like it almost became overload at some points.
Dude, that shot whenever T.J. Miller's character died, which was sad.
Yes,
may he rest in peace.
But it was a really cool explosion.
Whenever they're running away, and that explosion just like all around them. That
surrounds
was amazing.
Them. Yeah. I also wanted to give a throw out to the dogs. The evil dogs whenever they went to
the
ship.
Spaceship.
Yeah, on the spaceship. That, I thought that was a cool idea. And to have them kind of have them running around from these things, almost like horror film-esque, you know?
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Through the mist.
It was funny. So let's talk about the fact that they went to China for a second. So it's funny. I find it funny the way that movie studios are now playing to the Chinese audience, because, you know, more and more that's becoming a large audience and like almost rivals the United States in terms of moviegoers. And, you know, you see like movies like Iron Man 3 who filmed there. And then they also have like in Iron Man 3, they had scenes that were only shown to Chinese audiences. They weren't shown over here. Now, apparently they were pretty bad, so I'm glad they weren't shown over here.
Yeah.
But they, you know, like they involved Chinese movie stars and all that kind of stuff. Well, like a large part, you know, we're not in Chicago, you know, or we were in Chicago, but we go and like do the majority of all the action in China.
Yeah.
So you see that, like have these kung fu action kind of things, which I actually liked.
Oh, yeah.
It was cool to like that's nothing. It was cool to actually see like humans fighting humans. Like these movies are normally robot and robot or robot on human, and this was human fighting human, which is cool.
Yeah, dude. And the only weird part about that was whenever the random guy in the elevator like steps off and can do this kung fu. It's like,
I know.
And it's like, okay, wait, Michael Bay, wait. Are you saying
that
Chinese person is secretly a ninja? What are you doing, Michael?
I think that's what he's saying.
I think that's I don't know.
I don't think that was a weird moment. I thought
for
me. That too. I was like, is he just perpetuating this weird stereotype? But
it was okay. So here's the thing: it was either that, or he was winking at that stereotype.
Maybe
it was, and I don't know. You know, I don't know. I honestly, that part was so like kind of shoehorned in.
But it was also cool.
It was also funny. Yeah, it was really cool. You know.
Another thing that I was surprised by, they drop an F-bomb in this, and it's rated PG-13.
Wait, who did?
Remember? Whenever the old people are blocking their way.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, my goodness.
I used to think that like you drop an F-bomb, and it's like immediate R rating.
No, I think it's two. I think you have two.
But that's ridiculous.
But honestly, okay, so here's the other thing about that, and I may be wrong, but I think I was reading about the criteria for it, and I want to say that it's not like any specific number.
Right,
it's like context, and it's like if it...
But still, that's something that maybe your kid might repeat, and I wouldn't necessarily want my 13-year-old kid repeating.
Oh, of course, because
that line.
You know, you've got a theater full of people who crack up at that line, who are all older than...
Correct,
you
so
know.
Then it's funny.
Right.
So I don't know. I thought, but that being said, it was hilarious.
I also thought that, you know, with Transformers 2 and with a lot of the Transformer characters in there, and we mentioned this earlier with some of the weird humor, I feel like though that movie and even 3 geared more towards like a younger audience, whereas this one skewed more towards like, hey, you know,
yeah,
a little bit older of an audience, just because it was some of the humor you wouldn't get if you were a kid.
And I'm okay with that, you know, like because you know a lot of the humor before was all this slapstick, you know, bathroom humor that we referenced earlier, and it's just so grating on your, you know, psyche.
Yes,
you're just like, oh my gosh, I have to put up with more of this. And I never felt that during this movie,
right?
Like, whereas I did, even, you know, sometimes in the third movie. So
for sure, I will give a throw out action scene that I was one of my favorites just because of the location, and it wouldn't have happened any other place other than like China or some, you know, some other place like that. It wouldn't have happened in Chicago. Whenever whenever Titus Welliver and were like, he was chasing Wahlberg down. The building, the side of this like building, kicking air conditioner units onto his head, and, you know, all this stuff like that. That was a really cool sequence with Kelsey Grammer standing at the bottom. It's like, what?
What I liked about that sequence was it reminded me of like a Bourne movie.
Yes.
And rather than have Mark Wahlberg be really, really good at this parkour, he was terrible at it.
Oh gosh, he was the worst.
So it was like this is kind of like a Bourne movie, but kind of not.
Well, it was really funny. It was really awesome to see, like, because, you know, like, a guy like him isn't going to just step onto this thing and just be able to jump down these things and be great at this. You know, so it's like, obviously, it was nice to see kind of a human element there within that fight. So
I thought it was also cool to see Kelsey Grammer's character get blown away at the end.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, that was great. You know, that was a good... where did he come from? How did he get all the way across?
I don't know, dude. Like, there were several of those. Well, like, you know, especially remember whenever he Chicago, that spaceship was going over Chicago, and all of a sudden he's next to the giant like metal bean.
Right.
It's like, there's no situation in which you need to be there. You have walked across town, or taken a taxi across town.
Yeah.
Get me to the bean now. I got to make a phone call. And like you're standing there, so like, you know, it's all for looks.
Yeah.
And you can't think too much into that.
But it's like, does he have teleporting ability anyway?
No idea.
I really don't know how he got across there, because they had to cross the bridge.
Yeah.
So like he was like waiting for them on the other side of this bridge somehow. Dude, anyway, but I did appreciate
abandoned, you know, construction site.
I did appreciate that he was there though. That was nice, because it did bring in this element of Optimus had to save either himself or Wahlberg, which I keep forgetting his character name because it's Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
Let's just be honest. We all think of him as Mark Wahlberg.
Marky Mark. I'm going to look it up again so we can remember.
It is Cade.
Cade
Yeager. Remember
that. We haven't talked about the Dinobots yet.
Gosh, the Dinobots, that was cool.
Yeah, it was cool, way cooler than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I thought it would just be like, you know, Optimus Prime goes in this, he's like, I'll be right back, and like goes in and he bursts out of the spaceship riding a T-Rex.
So for a while there, I didn't even think he was going to go to the spaceship, because there's this giant cave behind them.
That's true.
In China, and I was like, Optimus is like, hold on a second, I've heard legend of a T-Rex that lives back here.
Yes.
But no, like that was really a cool thing, because like they could think, and they, you know, they were...
Yeah, so like what I was thinking about it afterwards, I guess, you know, like they came to Earth whenever they're dinosaurs, and so like the only thing they couldn't blend in with the cars, because there were no cars, so the only thing they could blend in with were the dinosaurs.
Yes.
So they created, like, they made themselves look like dinosaurs.
I thought that was really cool as well, because with the skeleton early on, it kind of, we were wondering, oh, is that the one he rides? And there was that kind of, you know, mystery box.
And you wouldn't think about that at all if we hadn't seen all the previews, you know, like they were in the previews, and so, you know, from that perspective, you know, like,
previews suck.
Yeah, I mean, but it did get me pumped for the movie.
They can mislead you as well.
Like, they can mislead you.
They can mislead you a little bit.
But that actually made me pumped for this movie, you know, like seeing him. So it did its job in that case.
Yeah.
There was something I was going to... this has nothing to do with the movie, or it does have to do with the movie, but that they had this big opening shot on Hong Kong. No, not Hong Kong. Shanghai, whenever they first get there or whatever.
Okay.
And you just see all the smog just laying on that city.
Yeah. That happens.
It does happen. It's terrible.
It exists.
You should Google Shanghai smog and look at the Google pictures.
Well, it's like, you know, LA Google also images. Has some smog, but it's not that nearly bad. As bad.
Have
it's
you seen,
not just constant.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. I mean,
it looks like they're in a cloud.
But Chris, in the Michael Bay movie, it was the most beautiful looking smog ever.
True. I mean, yes.
He just looked good.
Yeah. Another thing that I should have said, like, to expect in this movie was just lights placed in entirely wrong places and out of nowhere. You know, like, it'd just be like, why are there so in this barn? Why are there so many lights behind them? Just lens flaring everywhere. It's not even like they're off screen with J.J. Abrams with a flashlight. It's like they're just there. But it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
That's why they're there.
That's why they're there,
man.
That's
why they're there.
I mean, why wouldn't you? If you could, why wouldn't you?
I don't know.
If you could make a movie, you know, like him and make it look that pretty, why wouldn't you?
I've thought about other. Oh, the other thing was with the Dinobots. I guess they're just gonna run around in China now.
They are gonna be in that cave now. Like that's Optimus the cave. They were like, "Hey, I saw a cave back Optimus here. Let's go live there.
You're free. Go now." And like they just run off into the hillside.
I wonder what the Chinese government had to say about that.
Oh, the other thing. Oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I just like sequentially think of things. Okay, so
this is a very non-linear podcast. It's conversational, so it's okay.
Okay, so. The they throw in this sequence where some random guys up on a skyscraper go, "Hey, we need to get the defense minister on the phone. They need to come protect us," which is very like propaganda-y, like the government protects all you people here in China. This was the other thing. They quick pan into this guy who's walking. His aide runs up to him and says, "There's another disaster in Hong Kong." I want to know what the other disasters in Hong Kong were.
Dude, it's got to be Godzilla, man. It's got to be Godzilla. Like, what else would you, like, what else? You know? What else could it be? We live in a world with Transformers. Why can't there be a Godzilla?
I just love that implication. Well, there's another problem in Hong Kong, sir. We've got to fix it. We've always having a lot of problems down there.
Oh, man. Well, whenever you're talking about smog, you were actually talking about the dragon smog.
There we go. Yes.
That was the previous attack.
Laying
was,
on the gold.
That was it. oh, gosh.
But wasn't that just like... It was just oh man, like this is very heavy-handed propaganda for the Chinese government.
I didn't take it that way. I took it that the
there's no other way to take
it. I took it the same way that we took the president's chief of staff, like calling in and like having all of these weird conversations.
But think of the way they portrayed him. They portrayed like the chief of staff as this bumbling idiot,
right?
Like he doesn't know what the heck's going on,
right?
And while the Chinese government, oh man, we've got it handled. Well, we're gonna take care of all you Hong Kongians.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. Like, but I didn't think about it at the time. Like, it didn't occur to me where it was like, oh, this is definitely like, this was in the contract like, for them to shoot here or something. I don't know. Like that really, you know, didn't occur to me.
I mean, you think about these governments.
But then again, hang on. But then again, there were so many things flying around in that whole section of the movie where it was just like, oh, and now we're here. Oh, and Kelsey Grammer teleported. And it's like, I feel like, you know.
I agree with that. I'm not saying this, but I'm saying.
The propaganda is going to be the least of our concerns at that point in the film.
It's, you know, it's just interesting, you know, like, you know, whenever this very week we have, what's the name of that movie coming out with James Franco and Seth Rogen where they go try to assassinate Kim Jong-un from North Korea?
I have no idea.
That's coming out in the next couple of weeks or whatever. And he's. You know, North Korea is denouncing it and saying it's an act of war and all that kind of stuff, all the crap. Because, like, what's funny is, you know, like these dictatorships and communist nations, they falsely attribute the actions of our free movie, Hollywood, and press to our government because in their world, they control all of that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
you know,
so.
And what's interesting about the Kim Jong-un and all that is like, he was like, or at least I heard, like back a few months ago.
Well, he's supposed to be a movie buff.
Well, he was developing a video game or he was having some developers develop a video game where he was the main guy and like he like defeated America.
Right.
In some shoot 'em up way. Yes. So very strange.
There's that, but then there's also like all these other rumors of the things that he does. There's actually a website. You can go to this website.
Is there really?
I forget what it is. I think it's
well, you've got extra time on your hands, guys.
There's several websites. There's one where like they like all the things that he says he has done. And then there's also a website called I think it's Kim Jong-un Points at Things. And it's basically pictures of when he tours all these things around his country and he just points at
This episode took a really weird turn a little while ago.
We've gone on a weird road.
I don't know where we're at right now, man.
So, Transformers.
Optimus Prime.
Let's go back to Transformers.
Gosh.
Okay, to get us back on track.
Yes.
You interviewed our good friend Fultron.
Yes, Josh Fulton.
After the movie.
Yes. And this is what he had to say.
All right, Josh, you just saw Transformers. What did you think?
That was the weirdest, weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
But there were dinosaurs.
There were dinosaurs. But here's the thing. We already had 3 movies, and we just watched a 4th one, and I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why we just saw that.
Because epic robot action. That's why, right? Right?
That happened, yes. I will say that I didn't know this was possible, but I think the acting and the story actually got worse. But there was still robots, so success. So
yes.
Hashtag success.
Are you excited for Optimus Prime in space?
In space.
It's going to be like Optimus Prime meets Gravity. He's just out there floating by himself looking for his creators.
It's so cool. Next Oscar
winner. Well, it's like Gravity, Optimus Prime, and Prometheus. He's looking for where did we come from? Why do they want to kill us? I'm in space. Where's George Clooney?
So secretly, Alfonso Cuarón and Ridley Scott are now working on the next Transformers movie. That's what you're saying right now.
I'm calling it, yeah.
With Damian Lindelof writing.
Ruining the ending.
They're going to call him in.
They called him in specifically to ruin the ending.
All right.
Well, thank you. Where can we find you?
Are you saying, like, on Twitter or yes. just
at Planet
any,
Earth?
At any given time of the day.
However you wish people to reach you.
I'm on Twitter at Josh Fulton. That's it.
So sounds like Josh had some mixed feelings about this.
For sure.
As far as the family dynamic goes, I wanted to go back to that a minute.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I really
let's end on a happy note.
I really enjoyed the family dynamic. I did think again that I'm looking up the names.
Cade?
Like no,
I remember that this time.
Tessa, his daughter.
Yes.
And what was her boyfriend's name? I cannot remember.
Jack? Oh wait, Shane. It was Shane.
Okay, so I feel like both of those characters were a little bit underdeveloped for my taste, just because it's like I don't think they changed from the beginning to the end. They were, you know, they went through a lot of things, but I don't know that they really came to terms with anything in the family dynamic, other than, you know, hey, you got to protect my daughter, and hey, I was going to anyway, and that was like kind of a one-note bell for the whole time. You know?
As far as Shane goes, yeah. I think like his daughter at the end had made this kind of like change in that she trusted her dad more. She
was out there in the action too at the end.
Yeah, he said something like, "I'll always protect you," and she said, "I know, you know, like you always have," or something like that. Mm. And so, like, you know, whereas in the beginning of the movie, she was saying, "I'm the adult in this relationship." You know, there was more of a switch to she realizes he has been the one taking care of her and not the other way around. Like, she blatantly said that in the beginning of the movie,
right?
So it's not a big move, large move for sure, but it's something. You know what I mean? It's some forward momentum, which is always good,
right? I just definitely think that as far as the actors in the movie go, the ones who got the lion's share of the big development were both Mark Wahlberg and the doctor, Stanley Tucci.
Oh, I mean, as far as movement, you know, within their characters, yes. But even Stanley Tucci, like, you know, it was he goes from being perceived as a bad guy and kind of like redeeming himself. I liked that part of the story.
Right.
But it's also not a huge move.
No,
you
know? Not a gigantic move.
But anyway, but I agree with you. I think like the thing that I liked the most about this movie was the family dynamic between Mark Wahlberg and his daughter.
Yeah.
And I love that a lot more than I like, you know, Shia LaBeouf's...
Any of the previous films.
Shia LaBeouf's, you know, relationship with his bumbling parents, you know.
Right.
I like this one, which is...
Or with his girlfriend.
Like, this feels a lot more real, and there's a lot more of a connection and reason for, like, wanting to protect them than there was in the other films.
Right, right. For sure.
On that note, we should rate this thing.
Yes. What would you rate it, Chris?
So, like we've already said, you know, this movie is what it is. I'm going to rate it a 7 just because, like, I mean, but this doesn't mean it's bad. Like, this is exactly what I expected from this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think as a movie, you know, I would probably rate the third Transformers higher just because the story is a lot more, like, coherent and makes a lot more sense.
Kelsey Grammer doesn't teleport.
True. Yes. But it's still a really fun movie.
Yes, definitely. I would put it right on par with 7 as well. That was exactly what I was thinking before we came into. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, and through the discussion, it really solidly gets that 7.
Yeah.
It's not a bad 7. No, it's not a bad 7.
It's a good 7.
It's a very good 7. So maybe even like a 7.2.
But this is not going to win any Oscars.
Oh, that's very true. Well, that's why it comes out this time of year, you know.
True. So. True. It's a summer blockbuster. Mm-hmm. It's a popcorn movie. Popcorn flick.
Popcorn flicks.
Yeah. That's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be reviewing Ubisoft's, what is it called? Valiant Hearts, The Great War. Mm-hmm. And so stay tuned for that. And if you have any comments about this movie, you can tweet at us at
JohnWright777
and ChrisWright250 at StayOnTargetPod is the podcast Twitter, and always online at StayOnTargetPodcast.com. So that's it for now. We'll see you next week on
Stay on Target.